sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, and Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the internet. See, this is my way of saying, hey, holla at me on Twitter, and the website is ShutUpPodcast.com. It's also the place where you go to find my show notes, and also my the RSS feed to subscribe to the podcast, because as of this moment, this podcast is only available, it's not available on iTunes and all the major podcast distribution. No, it's only available now. Here's hoping by the time, you know what, okay, all right, I'm delaying. Before I continue, a reminder that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and also raise a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Who's your blood? I'm holding it down and representing for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and much music during the 80s. Did I say much music? No, I meant Rap City on Much Music. Yeah, but it's the important part is Rap City. And this episode is being recorded on June 26th. I believe, pouvez-vous, les Québécois, c'est la Saint-Jean-Baptiste. Yeah, on June 26th, 2022, and it's brought to you by the letter F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a record label and the motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. You know, one day I'm going to get this intro right. One day I will get it right. Okay. Today's episode titled Brenda's Got a Baby. Yes, for those of you who are Pac fans, Brenda Has a Baby is the title of was it the last track? No, it wasn't the last track, but one of the tracks on his first album, Tupacalypse Now. And if your name is Brenda, no, I am, and you just had a baby. No, I am not talking about you. A little humor at the beginning. All right, y'all. Okay, before I start, I just gotta point out to the elephant in the room right now. And right now is that there's a lot of like noises in my head. I'm trying something a little different with this episode. I am going to focus on a song written by Tupac to express my feelings about this recent news. Recent news to us of the United States, the Supreme Court, and they made a decision to overturn abortion rights in the United States. So essentially, I think what they did is they made it, this is me trying to dumb it down, is I think they made it so that the federal government could say, hey, not my fucking problem. If your state wants to have abortions, you deal with it, knowing very well that half these motherfucking states were just looking for that reasons to enforce abortion here. Basically, it's a win for the motherfuckers, you know, be careful, for the people who were on the, I hate calling them this, the pro-lifers, because they're full of shit. It's not about pro-life. The pro-birthers, the pro, hey, hey woman, shut up. Shut up and be pretty. When we tell you to have kids, you motherfuckers have those kids. Because for all we know it, you might be holding Jesus in your little womb. So we can't afford you fucking things up for the rest of us. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, I was gonna say it's a bad day for women, but no, I'm gonna say. I mean, yes, primarily, but it's a bad day for humanity. Because I still remember. sorry, I'm laughing because I realized I was in the middle of telling you the anxiety I was feeling to recording this episode, and I'm realizing by just simply talking about, just getting into it, the anxieties went away. I think that's kind of funny. Let that be a lesson to you, kids. Sometimes, instead of focusing on the negative thoughts, just fucking do it, man. Just jump in the pool and figure out how cold it is. All right? Yeah. Do it now. Okay, where was I? Yeah. It's amazing how I managed to distract myself. What I was trying to say is, ever since the learning the news, for some reason, I think I know why. The song "Brenda Had a Baby" has got a baby. It's been playing on repeat in my head, especially the words, because it had me rethinking whether. See, I think initially when Pac made the song, I couldn't tell if it was. Or I interpreted the song as him not making fun, but shunning or looking down on Brenda or being like, I think it's like, hey, this dumb bitch got herself pregnant. This dumb broad couldn't keep her legs closed, and now she's pregnant. Look at the how she, you know, when, I don't know, if you grew up in the kind of household that I grew up in, is every time you made a mistake, you can count on your parents or a relative or someone to be like, to get on your ass, to be like, hey, you fucked up, to point out how you fucked up. It's like, it's not enough that you spilt the milk. They got to rub your face into it. Not into the milk, but I'm just like, hey, that's exactly what you wanted to do. You wanted to spill that milk. You fucked up. So I thought the song might have been, hey, Brenda, you're an idiot, and this is why your life is shit. And now I'm re-listening to the song and realizing, well, I mean, I don't know Tupac personally. There's probably some listeners with some in-depth knowledge about, you know, that's going to contradict everything that I'm going to say. But I'm saying, as a person who consumes the art, I'm choosing to listening to the song and sharing my and how I made it personal. Growing up in a church, what they used to do when some pastors, what they would do is they would read a verse from the Bible, a story, whatever. And they would reinterpret it. Actually, yeah, it's a common thing for pastors to do, to reinterpret the story in a context that was applicable to nowadays. Like, you know, it could be, I don't know, Jonah and the whale story, or no, how about Noah? Is it Noah? Yeah, the one with the rain. Yeah, the flood and shit like that there. Yeah, and really he just wants to explain how he was scared. The last time he was in the middle of a storm and it rained a lot, and he'll use that story to make an example. You know what? Yeah, to make a point about rain falling, right? So I'm using the Brenda's Got a Baby story to, one, express my thoughts because about this decision, about this news event, because I won't lie, I've been scanning the internet, I've been stuck on social media, constantly reading the posts, the replies, some insightful shit, some people expressing anger, and then of course, like clockwork, motherfuckers expressing dumb shit about the decision. Yo, you know what? I'm not encouraging violence. Okay, maybe I am. But on the list of people who should get their ass kicked for celebrating or for being on the pro-life choice, it should be the men who are delinquent on child support payment. I think you deserve your ass kicked, man. If you're like running and rocking around with a protest sign talking about, hey, life. All life matters, or I don't know, whatever slogans, you know, life begins at conception, save the children, whatever the fuck the pro-lifer folks are saying. If you're that guy, talking about saving lives and at the same time not paying your child support, you're a dick. You know, not just a dick. You need your ass kicked. You know what I mean? I'd rather I stay away from the conversation on, you know, child support and because I'm not in that situation. Sometimes I feel like I think I'm this holier than thou. Maybe the dudes who are, you know what? Okay, I usually stay away from those conversations just because I don't like talking about things that I don't know about. Like, I don't know, like, if you're a parent and you're disciplining your kids, then, you know, I don't jump into how you should discipline your kids. But if you're beating your kids, then yeah, I might weigh in on that, you know, and say shit like that. But yeah, but if you're a motherfucker, like, part of the reason, wow. Yeah, you know what? This is all this podcast is. It's just me being able to share my thoughts as a male, using a song by Tupac. And the Brenda's Got a Baby song had me thinking that, again, my interpretation, that whether he was making a case for a woman's right to choose. Now, the song isn't about a woman having an abortion or thinking about an abortion. No, it's just a woman who ends up with a child and her life just goes downhill. And it was just a series of bad decisions. Now, before I break down the lyrics, I guess maybe you should take some time to listen to the lyrics, listen to the song, so you can absorb, so you can understand what I'm talking about if you haven't heard it already. But before I break down the lyrics, I'm just going to go through some other thoughts that I had. What the fuck is a pop? These are thoughts that I couldn't put up in a tweet. I couldn't write down. It's easier for me to just, it's easier for me to just talk it out. You know, what's wild is that how I initially had a series of topics that I wanted to cover. And first thought was, I'm going to integrate this thought about Tupac in there. But then, you know, I'm trying to avoid hour-long episodes that are longer than an hour. I mean, you know, it's my podcast. I could do whatever I want. But I think about the person listening. And, again, I'm just sharing my thoughts. They're not, you know, very well researched. I don't know if I'm going to say anything that you haven't heard already. It's just like, I understand that I'm probably saying something that might be met resistant, considering how I'm using Tupac's song to address or to talk about, to discuss something that's, you know, that's considered, I don't know, what's the word I want to use? Topic of feminism, you know, because when you think of Tupac, he had two sides, man. Like he had two sides. I would not be mad at you if you told me, hey, I ain't trying to hear any Tupac lyric because that motherfucker was problematic. I don't think he supported women. I don't, like, you know, I wouldn't debate you on that. But, of course there's a but. I did looked up the word, I did actually Google the question, was Tupac a feminist? And I found this think piece called Feminism of Tupac. And let me confirm, it was written by, I'm going to assume it's a dude, Jonathan T. Periodicals. Yeah. And, he just, okay, what's wild is, because I can, it's amazing how this is my own show, this is my own, there's no audience, but in my mind, there's an audience telling me everything that I shouldn't be saying, so I'm forcing myself to say these words, but yeah, I was at the, like, to make my point about the feminism of Tupac, it's as good as it gets. yesterday, on Saturday, I was at a barber shop. I was at the barber, and early in the morning, so it was just me and my barber. And and he asked me, actually caught me by surprise, because he's not really the I'm into politics. I discuss politics, or I'm interested in. Sure, he's versed. He knows things. But he's not like. He's not really an advocate, you know, except maybe for his barbershop and his money. But anyway, whatever. Yeah. So it was interesting how he asked me the question of, hey, did you have any thoughts about the, because he knew I would have thoughts on it, about the recent decision to overturn overturn abortion rights in the United States. And, it was as good as it gets, as you can have in a barbershop. Like, it's not the kind of conversation that, you know what I'm trying to say? Tupac is no bell hooks. He was the one guy who, the closest thing to a male teaching me about feminism in a way that I would process it. He didn't preach it to me. He didn't nag me about it. Tupac is like that guy who'd be like, hey, stop calling these females hoes. They don't like to be called bitches. You know what I mean? Shit like that. He's that guy. I mean, when you think about being in the Church of Masculinity, if you're a member of the Church of Masculinity, women's rights, abortion, right to choose, is not something you're supposed to give a fuck about. It's not your problem. The only time you should care about an abortion is if you got the wrong chick pregnant and you want to pray that, you know, she decides to get that abortion. You know, I mean, I guess if you ain't an in shit dude, then you're just, she doesn't get the abortion. You could just tell her not to, you know, hey, well, that's your problem. Right. You know, the Church of Masculinity. Anyways, So back to the barbershop scenario. So he asked me about it. And at first I thought he was baiting me. He wanted to see how much passion he was. But again, this is as good as it gets in the conversation. But it was interesting to at some point hear him say, yeah, it's got to be fucked up that, you know, again, he doesn't get involved in the politics, but he did say how it'd be fucked up that if a woman were to get raped and she's forced to have a child. Like, this is as much empathy the man talked on the subject. He's not the guy you want discussing abortion rights or a woman's rights to choose in the front of a panel. But just that mature conversation, I'm trying to say it was as good as it could get in a barbershop. Granted, there was only two dudes in there. And, I think about how women are impacted by this decision, but I'm thinking about how the average male is like indifferent to that suffering. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm trying to think about how would I sell, it's fucked up. How would I sell why you should care about this decision? Why you should join the fight with these ladies to against the decision? See, I live in Canada now. What this decision, what it opened my mind to, what it opened my eyes to, is how abortion rights can be taken away like that. Like, I thought we lived in a society where we were advanced and this shit is like, it's done with, you know, no one's talking about taking away abortion rights from women. But now those crazy Christians are like, they're determined. They're determined. Like, they have a lot of motherfucking times on their hand. And I remember when I was talking to one of my homegirls, and she was, and she brought it up. She actually said, hey, if we're not careful, we can lose the rights to an abortion. Right, abortion could be taken away from us. And I remember when she said that, thinking, silly lady, silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. I mean, like, you know, like, come on, no. I mean, I handled her saying that the same way white people reacted to black people when Trump was running for elections. Like, yo, he's bad news. The racist guy, the dude who high-fives other racist guys, it's only going downhill. And white people were like, silly Negro, slavery is over. Racism is over. We had Obama. It can't get any worse than this. It bothered me that I got taken. Now, some of you are probably wondering, I'm probably thinking to themselves, or probably wondering, hey, B, why the fuck do you give a fuck? You know what I mean? Why do you care if a woman has a right to choose? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, and, if I'm a selfish guy, it's because I don't trust my ability to pull out, I guess. You know what I mean? And I ain't getting in. I don't know if I want to have any kids, but I don't know. But I know that I am not at the point of getting a vasectomy. No, but honestly, because this is not the first time this whole Roe v. Wade, like, we saw this coming. There was a leaked memo about them making this decision. I wonder if they did that to soften up the crowd so people would riot on the street. But whatever, okay, but I remember the news came out about the leaked memo from these judges, and how they were going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And, oh, that's right. Yeah, no, I had recorded a mock episode basically this is the second time that I share my thoughts on abortion. And, but I remember asking myself the question, why do I care? Why is this thing on my mind? Why is this lingering on my mind? And the first answer is, I'm a human being. I'm a human being who feels, who's able to feel other people's pain. And I can picture myself in the situation of a woman who, God forbid, follows all the steps. Picture myself being a woman who's in a situation with an unwanted pregnancy. That's what I'm trying to get at. Right? Even though you took all the motherfucking precautions, right? Or God forbid, you took all the motherfucking precautions, but it does rely on, but this motherfucker decided to, you know, pull the condom out during sex. Or the condom breaks. You know what I mean? The condom breaks. Like, whatever, man. Shit happens. And you're in a situation where you're facing an unwanted pregnancy. And I can picture myself, one, being forced to have this baby. How shitty that would, like, how unfair that would be. Especially, like, look, man, I remember when I was laid off. I've been laid off twice. It doesn't matter. I've been laid off at least, yeah, once. And, or in a situation where I had no ways to support myself. Or I didn't know how. Basically, no money was, no income. And the first thought that crossed my mind is, whoa, thank God. No one is depending on me. Because them motherfuckers are going to starve. Like, if I'm not eating, they're not eating. Fuck that. Like, being in this situation, I guess I had the luxury of being able to be like, oh, poor me. Oh, shit, I'm fucked. What am I going to do to, I'm fucked. I'm, you know, it wasn't we. How am I going to take care of this kid? Like, having another responsibility, right? I can picture myself being in that unfortunate situation. It doesn't happen, but I can, the suffering that must come with it. And then also, and this is a conversation we don't have, right? Because I guess as a guy, to us, they made it sound like, or the way the story they described pregnancy, it was like 9 months just went like that, you know? It's like the story of baby Jesus. Mary wakes up. I don't know how it went down, but you know, the angel came down to explain to him how, hey, Mary, you're fucking pregnant. Where'd the baby come from? God, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that, like, whether it was consensual, like how that baby got inside of Mary's tummy, but doesn't matter. But my point is, 9 motherfucking months is a lot of time. 9 months, no alcohol. 9 months, no weed. 9 months, hey, morning sickness. 9 months. And, you know, and you're thinking of, at the end of 9 months, I'm going to feel a shitload of excruciating pain. Like, I grew up in a Christian home where they made it sound like women were born to have kids. But the reality is, not everyone wants to have a kid. Not every woman wants to have a, you know, have another human being inside their stomach. And it's normal. Just like not every man wants to get that phone call talking about, hey, motherfucker, got a baby on my stomach and it's yours. 18 years of your income. Start garnishing your wages because it's, you know, it's got to come to me. Just like the second. Look. I'm trying to make the point that having a kid, this is me trying to sell fellas. It's not fair. It's not fair. This is really where this conversation is. It's not fair, man. I mean, we need to jump in this fight. I guess the other reason why I care is because my life is a product of all the, there's a lot of shit that I'm enjoying today because someone who didn't know me chose to give a fuck. This is where this conversation is going. I was like, okay, as much as I talk shit about the church, because I will be, you know, I will be tongue lashing this church, not in a good way, the church by the end of this this podcast. But the one thing that I will credit the church with, or the teaching of the church that my parents gave me, the one thing it did give me that I'm grateful for is I grew up with this notion that I'm in debt to someone else. I don't mean I should be sucking people's dick. I'm saying I need to pay shit forward. I think of my ancestors who fought off the French to liberate Haiti from slavery. Sure, I mean, yeah, slavery sucks. I mean, you know, I'd be fighting too. I hope so. But I mean, I don't know if they were thinking of me, but I'm saying there's a long line of human beings who had to give a fuck for me to be here and then be able to record this podcast. Martin Luther King, all the past heroes, he had to get out of bed and give a fuck about other people's problem. Like this, our world would not exist if everyone was selfish, was just like, hey, my problems. I'm only taking care of myself. I'm only looking out for myself. This world exists because someone out there just decided to, oh shit, I'm going to make their problem my problem too. But time goes by. An eye for an eye. We in this together, son. Yo, beef is mine. Okay, wrong song. This different song. But I'm just saying, this notion of human beings choosing to give a fuck about other people's problems. So it'd be only natural for me to hear the suffering, the tears, the discouragement. Like, I remember a friend of mine, when I found the news, she sent me the news, a link to it, and she wrote the words, man, this shit is depressing. And I bet she felt the same way I felt after the George Zimmerman verdict, that depression. Anytime in the news where something happens to a black person and it just gets you down, you know, just like, you know, it feels like they're winning and we're losing. Man, seriously, man. Seriously, like I said, the most annoying people for me right now are the fucking crazy Christians talking about, we did it! This is a win for us! Celebrating, but yeah, but, you know, let me go somewhere with this, man. I'm gonna, okay. Let me keep going because, what time is it? Yeah, okay. What did I write? I understand I'm not alone on this one. I'm going to say my piece, even though, yeah, okay, I already covered this part. So yeah, no, I honestly, if I was at the barbershop, how would I convince the males in the barbershop that, yo, we need to make this our problem? What I do know is I've been fascinated when there was like police shooting or any issues that affect black people, how black women are always on the front line of those struggles. Like statistically, we get men, black men get, you know, compared to black women, we're the ones who are like facing police brutality. Sure, women get affected too, but statistically, more of us than them. But the women on the front line, they're not thinking, oh shit, this is a black man problem. You know, I should go home. Nah, they're saying, yo, you fucking with them, you fucking with us. Shout out to Sister Soldier. Sister Soldier. She's got a line in the song. What's it called again? Valley of the Jeep Beats? Oh, on the song of, we are at war. Hold on a second. We are at war. Apparently, it's very unprofessional to Google something on a podcast. But I'm in charge here. You know what? Fuck it. We are at war, Sister Soldier. All right. That's not the name of the song. God, yes. That's not the name of the song. Yo, man. I don't know if I have ADHD or ADD, but I'm very easily distracted. Valley of the Jeep Beats. Shout out to the people who know what song I'm talking about and are being patient with me. Buckwilding. Oh, my God. Buckwilding by Sister Soldier. Yeah. At the beginning, she says some dope shit like, you know, you can't declare war on the black man without declaring war on me. Right. So I'm just saying. I remember noticing all these black women who usually on the front lines of every struggle that involved black people. And I started to think about how I've never, maybe once, and it was probably with ill intentions, but I don't think I've shown as much dedication to causes that affect black women as much as black women have showed up to causes that affect me more than them. Like, I've never been to a pro-choice rally. I didn't know you could. I just found this out. What was the name of that show? But doesn't matter. But the, how you could be an escort for women who go into clinics. Like, I didn't. No, you know what? I remember. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, no, I don't remember. And I don't think I ever have been participated in a cause that directly affected women, especially black women. Right now, all I'm doing is I'm on a podcast, just like trying to get fellas something to think about, man. Like if you're a guy on a podcast talking shit about pro-choice, you know, shut the fuck up. Like when I say shut up, podcast, we're talking about you. Shut the fuck up. Like, just like, you don't have to say anything. Like, let's say you believe that shit, just keep it to yourself, man. Like, they don't need to hear that shit. These ladies don't need to see another motherfuckers celebrating a decision that won't impact them. What sucks is how what kills me about this a country like the United States is, it's not about being pro-life. Pro-birth at best. Like, to them, the fetus is something worth protecting. Excuse me. A fetus is worth protecting. But once that baby is born and can breathe on its own, it's like, fuck that baby. Fuck that, especially if it's black, especially if it's gay, especially if it's disabled, especially if it's a woman. You know what I mean? Fuck that baby. Healthcare? Fuck that shit. What? Your parents can't afford to feed you? Well, she should have thought of that before you were born. Fuck that kid. Hey, we need to go to war. Send your fucking kid to die on a battlefield against whoever the fuck we go to war with. Hey, we make money by putting motherfuckers in prison. It's a good thing we're not paying you know, your child has got a bad education because we're going to send it to a shitty school and where they'll likely grow up to be someone who can't navigate it in the system that we built for that's currently built. Like, this system's going to work against them. Fuck them. Put them in a jail. Let them die. Sell crack rock. Let them, you know, I guess for me, when I think about this whole, my thoughts on abortion, especially the song Brenda's Got a Baby, I'm not one of those people who celebrates life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying life ain't worth celebrating. I'm saying I can't stop myself from thinking about the people who don't have it that great in this lifetime, which I think is a majority. Not like it's a majority. Not all of us are rich and are living the life of the rich and famous. You know, okay, maybe someone out there is just enjoying life. They're getting high on life. I heard Jamie Foxx say a line like, you know, how heaven can't, I hope heaven is better than the life that I'm living now. Some shit like that. Maybe there's some people who are celebrating life. Like, life is a blessing. It's the greatest gift they've got. Like, they just enjoy life. Good for them. High five for them. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking of Khalif Browder. The Khalif Browders of the world. I don't know if you saw the documentary. Poor guy, man. The man, you know, he ended up, he was accused of a crime. They sent him to prison. And how long did he say? 3 years? 2 years? I'm not sure. But he was sent to Rikers Island, one of the worst jails in prison. The man didn't commit the crime. And they put him around, like, tough criminals. And they just made his poor kid's life a living hell. His life a living hell. And finally, when he was exonerated, when, you know, they got him out of the prison, within a year, the poor guy kills himself. Like, I think about the people, the human beings who are born into this world and spend the most of their lives wishing they were dead. That's how I think about. This one time I was in a club, it was an after hour club, and I was in an after hour club. Now I don't know who the majority of the people were in the club, but in my mind, I felt like a bum. In my mind, I can sense, or I was telling myself, that there's a significant amount of people in this club who just being here is their coping mechanism. They're going through life just coping. And the song "Jesus Walks" by Kanye West came on. And at the time, I was considering being a preacher. And I was saying, y'all, and the thought said, these are the people I would make my church with. And what I meant by that thought is, they're the people who needs to be, someone needs to, like, look out for them. You know what I mean? Like, they're the people begging for, they might not be asking for help, but who, like, look, life is just a struggle. I'm like a step away from, I'm like a bad paycheck away from, I'm a layoff away from, I'm another breakup away from, one more disrespect away from just, you know, ending it for myself. Like, the people who are like, life is just a, does not feel like a blessing. I think of those people, the people who are coping. And I tell you, I gotta tell you, you bring a life into this world, into this cruel world, with parents who didn't want them. I think it's cold. It's cruel. I'm just trying to say, the life we have that we created, this system we built, ain't all roses. It's cruel. It could be cruel, and it's as cruel. It's so cruel that sometimes it's just terminating a pregnancy is a blessing. I know it's hard to hear. Some motherfuckers, some people just believe that. Nah, man, give him, put him on the planet, and God will provide. It doesn't work that way, man. I don't think. Some people probably, you know, your life has been a blessing from the womb to whatever, but some people just, I'm not advocating for suicide. I'm just saying, I can understand the mother who chooses to terminate a pregnancy. I say a mother chooses, because in the end, it's her body. Let her decide, look, let me live with these consequences. And maybe in the good old days, you know, it was like, hey, you're a woman. God made you to have children. So, you know, we can impose our will on people. But are we a civilized society or not? Let's talk to the vessel. Look, A man's contribution to pregnancy is just, that's it, man. Here, two seeds. Two seeds, have fun. We get to walk away. But for her, it's, boom, it's in my stomach. And she doesn't have the luxury of being able to separate themselves from this child. I mean, like, compared to a man. Well, man, I would never take care, I would never leave a woman without a child. Yeah, but, you know, maybe you're a piece of shit, and the woman, the idea of her raising a child with you is, like, just, like, drives her nuts. I guess, co-parenting is not an easy thing to do. I don't know if it sounds like I'm speaking against giving birth to a child. No, I'm just trying to advocate for, in my own way, a woman's rights to choose. Bottom line. Sorry. Before I get to the breakdown of this song, I want to make sure that I, what did I say? What else did I have? Oh, right. Okay. So in addition to this song, after listening to the Tupac's Brenda's Got a Baby song, I found myself listening to watching this documentary on Crave for You Americans. That's more like HBO. It's called Abortion Stories Women, Abortion Stories Women Tell. The link to the show is in the show notes. And that documentary, I don't know, it was powerful. Like Brenda's Got a Baby, it gave a face to the human beings that go for abortion, that, you know, that end up having abortions. I mean, the documentary covers, you know, people who, the women who are pro or and against it, but it's on both sides. But I'm just going to wrap up my thought because I'm not going to linger on this song. One of the women who were talking, she said something that like, you know, that, okay, there's a lot of women who were going through the abortion process by themselves. They were all alone. And it's like, man, it's like, well, it's like, I don't know. It just pained me to see that they're going through this whole process by themselves because, you know, the man they had the child with, they didn't want anything to do with the situation. Not all the stories are like that, but I'm just thinking of this one in particular. She was just saying how she was going through the abortion, and the doctor was telling her, "Hey, look, if you're feeling freaked out, you can hold my hand." And this woman, she just had a thought where she was telling herself, "Wow," because she noticed that the man had a ring on his finger. She said, "Man, how lucky must his wife be to have a man like that?" Because her man was like abusive and shit like that. But that little moment of empathy that man showed to that woman just made the situation less shittier. And just, you know, it touched on the heartstrings. Another thing that documentary did, and this is where I start talking, you know, this could be a church ratchetness section on it to itself, is the Christians in that show. Oh my God. Holy fuck. I don't think it was the purpose of the documentary to make Christians look bad. But they just record the Christians showing up protesting abortion clinics, talking shit. One man, just preaching. And you can tell this motherfucker is clueless. He's just like, I drank the Kool-Aid, and just preaching like, oh, you're going to go to hell. And just like that. Look, yo, look, man, that documentary made me want to reopen some the Colosseums, man. Feed Christians to the lions, man. These people are like, look, these women are making one of the toughest decisions in their lives. They're in the toughest possible situation. And where do these Christians do? Instead of being like the Church of Jesus, they're like adding to the list of things to make their situation be worse. It's like, it makes you reevaluate what the fuck is the point of being Christian. If it's just to make, you know, if you just want to make other people's life's miserable because your life is just as miserable, whatever the fuck, then fuck, don't use a Bible to do it. Jesus, I mean, Jesus Christ, the irony. Yeah. I want to make sure I cover everything here. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let me get to the song. I'm going to assume you heard the song already, and like, and I broke it down, and I'm just going to highlight the verse that really I felt were really hit the core there. It goes, the verse starts out with, I hear Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. A damn shame. The girl can't hardly spell her name. Now, oh, yeah. And the first two verses, what I like about the first two verses, it had me thinking about, do you have people in your life who, if they were to tell you that they were pregnant or they were going to have a child, you'd be like, I feel sorry for that kid. Like, the only way that kid is going to make it is on its own because their parents are beyond fucked up. Or maybe you got people with kids and you're telling yourself they're not going to make it. You know, you just feel sorry for those kids because life dealt them a bad hand, which is shitty parents. Now, I don't know if the point of that verse of Tupac's verse was to look down on Brenda. I don't know. But that verse made me just think about people who should not have kids. Fuck. Casey Anthony. Y'all know, remember Casey Anthony? Hold on, make sure I'm gonna get her name right. Casey Anthony. Is it Kaylee? Yeah. Casey Anthony. She's a white lady. Killed her child. And my point is, there are people in our lives who need a child as much as they need a bullet in their head. I don't know if I'm using the right expression, but I'm just saying, it just had me thinking about people who should not have children. So yeah, so Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda Bailey, you know, she finds out that she's pregnant. And the next verse is, I'll be honest, is what, remembering this verse is what had me thinking about the whole song overall. And that's, I think, I don't know what my phone's acting up here. Yeah, it's, it goes, that's not our problem. That's up with Brenda's, that's up to Brenda's family. And then Tupac responds with, well, let me show you how it affects our whole community. That right there is, I think, what set me on the path to how can I get other males to think about making abortion, like, you know, part of the struggle, part of our struggle. Well, you know what? If you're like, you know, a member of the Church of Masculinity, if you're like, if you're just trying to be a real man, then you're not going to give a fuck. I can't talk to you. I guess I'm talking to a fellow human being who just happens to have a penis. And I don't know how I would sell. I just know how I would do it. And how it affects our home community. Well, as a male, I guess, you know, you're going to have a vasectomy. If you don't have a vasectomy, you're going to have to trust your pull-out game. And pull-out game is not that reliable. I don't give a fuck how good you think you are. Pull-out game is not that reliable. And if you ain't an ancient human being, then you're just going to bounce on the girl. I mean, I guess it's interesting how in this society we're able to be like, hey, it's a woman's fault that you're pregnant. Like, rape isn't a thing. Like, there ain't dudes, and I'm not just talking about like the violence, that one. I'm talking about deceitful men. Men who lie to women to have sex, who lie to them about who they are, who lie to them about their intentions, and then when they have sex, they're gone. But there's a consequences to those actions. I mean, you know, co-parenting isn't all that. So how it affects the whole community? Actually, there's a, okay, I didn't save it, but I will put it in the show notes. I'm going to link it. There's a TikTok video of this, a woman, she's explaining how, yo, why men should give a fuck about abortion. So I'm not going to read the whole song because I'm running out of time, that time that I promised myself that I was going to allocate to this episode. He goes, but essentially it's more reasons to why Brenda should have gotten an abortion. Her dad was a junkie. Basically her home life sucks. It just goes, yeah. When Brenda found out that she was going to have a baby, she should have had that abortion. Yeah. And then he goes, Brenda's got herself a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a cousin. Now let's watch the joy in. She tried to hide a pregnancy. Yeah, man. So ain't shit that I talk about deceitful, man. More reason to not have a kid. What other sons do I have? Baby dad ain't shit. Yeah, the part she says, all right. She's 12 years old and she's having a baby. Okay, but no one seems to notice any change in the figure. She's 12 years old and she's having a baby. In love with a molester who's sexing her crazy. Yeah, yeah. And yet all she could think about is he'll be around forever. Okay, I'm fucking up the verse. He goes, and yet all she thinks that he'll be around forever and dreams of the world where the two of them are together, whatever. He left her and she had the baby solo. She had her on the bathroom floor and didn't know so. Yeah, man. Now, look. I gotta be careful because there's another stats of, you know, there's a better statistics of the kind of women who end up having an abortion. You know what? Throughout this abortion debate, we never actually talk about the human being who decides to have an abortion. We just talk about as. Like they're like in the back of our mind, we have this image of some loose woman who made the mistake of getting pregnant, and it was her fault. The mistake is her fault. She got, like, we always vilify these women who get abortions, and I guess the song "Brenda Had the Baby" just created an image of a human being. Anyway, so there's like better. Statistics, like, it's not just like the Brendas of the world who end up needing an abortion. Sometimes it's just a family, a full family, and, you know, they have, like, they already have kids, and if they have another one, they can't afford it. I mean, sometimes it's not just a single mother. I'm just sticking to one story just because I'm trying to, this is me selling why you should give a fuck about abortions, abortion rights, homeboy. Yeah, I'm trying to reach a people that I know I can't reach. Like, it's like, I think I'm just making a case for myself. But yeah, man, I guess I want to make sure that I'm not trying to say that I'm telling the story of every woman who has an abortion. No, every story is unique. They have their own story. But I'm just sticking to this one that plucked up on my emotions and shit. So where was I? Yeah. In love with a molester. Okay. Now, the second verse that really got my attention is where he says, she had a bathroom floor and didn't know so. She didn't know what to throw away and what to keep. She wrapped the baby up, threw him in the trash heap. I guess she thought she'd get away, wouldn't hear the cries. She didn't realize how much the little baby had her eyes. Now the baby's in the trash heap bawling. Mama can't help but it hurts to hear her calling. Yeah, no, that verse had me thinking about how, yeah, there was a story, I've heard stories of people finding babies in the trash bin, and how the whole focus was on how, oh wow, this mother was a bad person for having this child, for doing what she did. Now, I am not forgiving the mother, but yeah, I'm not ashamed to say, but yeah, but I am saying, what do you think was going to happen when you force people to do things against their will? They get creative. Like, if she got no support system, no one to talk to, no one to, hey, help me out. Like, shit. I don't know. I guess I could picture myself if I was a if I was a woman, my life would have been a lot harder than it was. Not that I had a hard life, but I'm just saying my life would have been a lot harder. not to laugh at this, but the idea of, hey, my problems would go away if I get rid of this thing. I guess I'm saying we shouldn't be surprised. It's going to be you get rid of abortion, what's going to happen is the people who are determined not to have to end that pregnancy will find creative ways to end that pregnancy. We can sit here on the sideline being like, oh, you're such a bad person, and oh, you should have done this, should have done that. But in the end, you're the one facing that problem, and you're going to solve that problem with however way, with the limited options you have yourself available. I guess one of the reasons why I left the church is because it drove me nuts how blinded, how unable to process other people's reality was. Like, that's how the common solution to any problem is to judge the person and how they handle that problem. Yeah, we sit on the sideline being like, hey, shame on you, home. Shame on you, woman, for doing what you did with that baby. But yeah, anyway, so fast forward. So I guess in this case, Brenda decides to keep the baby, take him out of the trash heap, and decides to step up and take care of the baby. And then, and as a result, she gets kicked out of her home because her mom, who was already a bad mother, now I gotta say that Brenda is like, the odds were stacked against her. She's not that bright. She lives in the hood. It's like she's already in a hopeless situation. So she's just like, from hopelessness to more hopelessness. Her story just keeps getting more hopeless and hopeless. So she decides to keep the baby. She moves, and her mom decides to throw her out of the house. And then so Brenda's on her own, and she decides to, step up and try to get a job. And how does it go? She goes, now Brenda's making her own way. Yeah. Brenda's making her own way. Can't go to her family. They won't let her stay. No money, no babysit. She couldn't get a job. She tried to sell crack, but ended up getting robbed. So now what's next? Ain't nothing left to sell. So she sees sex as a way of leaving hell. It's paying the rent. So she really can't complain. Prostitute found slain, and Brenda's her name. She's got a baby. Yeah, man. That's probably another topic that I plan on taking on the podcast is sex work. Now, there's a podcast I went through like a book. Like, I binged every episode. It's called No Life Skills, and the author's name is Ashlyn. Is this just Ashlyn? Oh, let me just look at the No Life Skills, whatever, right? Anyway, okay, so she just talks about, it's just Canadian woman from Calgary just talking about the sex trade. Being a sex worker, but you know, it's like, she talks about how the sausage is made. But I guess what the biggest, greatest tickle, because I have a lot of complicated feelings about the podcast. I'm glad that I went through it. Actually, I just haven't listened to the last episode, but that, again, that's a way longer conversation. But there's one thing she puts out is that, look, man, sex work is work. And just talks about the drama she goes through. Like, it's just, the average sex worker could tell us a lot about the world that we live in. And, the dangers that she faces, that they face, it's not, because they're on the outside, since it's illegal, so there's not a lot, they pay taxes, but they can't go to the police for any kind of help because, you know, hey, what you're doing is illegal. And, but hearing a lot of this episode just made me think of these tragic stories. Cause you know, she's got funny stories. She can be funny and whatever, but it's just using comedy to using comedy to describe an ugly world. I think it reminds me of like The Walking Dead using a zombie apocalypse to try to bring out some of the beauties in the world, like using ugliness to create a picture. And what's missing from the no life skills podcast, or out of the stories that she gives up, I'm sure she's aware of them, whatever, right? But she understands that she's coming from a position of privilege in the sense that she chose to be a sex worker, just making a killing, which, you know, OnlyFans page, and she's like, you know, like in the higher echelon of sex work. What's missing is the women who don't have it that great. Like that's the one thing that's not covered. Like it's easy to hear her story, but it's hard to, but she can tell you about the sad stories. Like, you know, it's like the war stories, I'm a decorated veteran. I went for war and I came out a decorated veteran. And then there's soldiers who went to war and lost a leg, lost whatever. So for her, it's like she could tell you stories of sex worker who didn't have it that great, or who became sex worker because they had to. They had a crying mouth out there. They didn't have like she would say, no life skills. And okay, that's the wrong thing to say. Yeah. And not to say that in order to be a sex worker, you don't have to have any life skills. That's completely wrong. But I'm focusing on Brenda here, who ends up turning to prostitution. And I can picture this song being a movie and being one of those tragic movies that just ends terribly. You know, she finally turns to the sex trade and makes money to feed her child, and then boom, she gets killed, and she's just another statistic. She's just like the world, this cruel world, just sets her aside. Like, dumb bitch, you had to come, you know, and leaves a child behind. It's just, I don't know. It's just one huge tragedy. So I hit my limits, man. I'm at Did I have a final thoughts? The last point I put in here was final thoughts. Is I know I went all over the place. I really just needed like a forum to express my thoughts. I couldn't write them down. I don't know. Right now I feel like I just went all over the place. Whoever the person listening to this is just completely confused by what I was trying to say. But it's a motherfucking shame, man. But a part of me wants to be like, look, dumb people can't win. Dumb people can't win. It doesn't make sense to, like, I guess I do remember listening to a podcast about, the New York Times? And they were just talking about when the Roe v. Wade decision was being announced, like, not yesterday, I mean Friday, but I mean like when the leak memo came out. And I can't remember the name of the woman. She was just saying, like, look, our work has just begun. Like, this is one of those, yeah, it's a step back. But it's a step back that allows us to, like, okay, you guys fucked with the wrong people. Like, it ain't the end of the road. The fat lady hasn't said, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Yeah, maybe a blessing is how so many people are like making an issue out of this. Like, not the people on Twitter. Yeah, I really need to get off Twitter, man. Because some people are just on, people on social media, just some people discourage you. Like, they make it sound like it's all over. We at the end of the road. No sense looking for hope. But no, man. Shout out to like the activists who are like the volunteers, the activists, the thinkers, the politicians who are like mobilizing. I feel like McNulty right now and say, you don't get to win. The bad guys do not get to win. The dumb people do not get to win. The motherfuckers who believe that a woman's lives matter, doesn't matter because she's given birth. Yeah, they don't get to win. It's like I'm trying to believe that human beings are a lot wiser than that. Sure, we got setbacks, but sure we have setbacks. But that's all a setback is. It's not the end. It's find ways to move forward. In the meantime, I will be that guy on the message group, Fury Mail, talking shit about reproductive rights. I'll be one of those guys on your ass. I'll be the ones. No, I won't be shutting up. I will shame you. I will. Sure. No. My interest is to educate the ignorant, educate other my more soldiers to recruit more soldiers into this fight. But one thing's for sure is, yeah, man, I guess the bottom line to this whole conversation is all I'm trying to say is, fellas, we need to look out for the Brendas of the world. You know what I mean? I mean, find ways to do your part. That's, I don't know, there's like a call to action. I can't, you know, I can't be Mr. Captain Positive. I'm just gonna end it with, yeah, Brenda should not have had that baby. Bottom line. Anyways, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. What do I usually say? Right. To find me on Twitter, I'm at BBlizzak. The website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe, use my RSS feed until further notice. And as always, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts.